Our lesson today is found in the first book of Kings, the last part of the 18th chapter and part of the 19th chapter. We left off speaking to you how that Elijah went down and slew all the Baal's prophets. They killed them by the brook Kishon. And after he had done this, we find that he commanded Ahab to go up and eat, because he said there is a sound of an abundance of rain. Of this man Ahab, he had likewise been a person that worshipped Baal, and he probably had been praying all day long that Baal would answer these prophets and give fire from heaven, but no answer came, as you know. And this man then, Ahab, he had not eaten probably all day long. So after God had given fire and these prophets had been consumed, then Elijah commanded him to go up and eat. Elijah likewise said there was a sound of an abundance of rain, who gave him to know that this was going to happen was the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God revealeth the secrets unto the prophets and unto his people. And so we find that Elijah, and he likewise went up to the top of Carmel, of this mountain at the foot of which all these prophets had been slain. And he went up and he cast himself down on the ground, and he placed his face between his knees, and he commanded his servant that he should go and look out from the top of this mountain over the sea. And the servant, he went up to look, and he come back, and he saw nothing, he said. And he commanded him to go 7 times. And the 7th time he came back, and he said, there ariseth a cloud, he says, the size of a man's hand. Then he commanded this servant to go down and speak unto Ahab that he should likewise arise, for the rain should not stop him. This man then, Elijah, he went up to the top of the mountain Carmel. He went up there to pray. He had a promise. The first verse in this chapter, God had come to him and said that he was going to make it rain. And he had a promise that God was going to give rain. But he had to likewise pray for this. He went up to the top of this mountain to pray. It says that he cast himself on the ground and he put his face between his knees. Now, this attitude is practically the attitude of many of those that dwell in the East, especially when they are in deep thought, when they are in deep sorrow, then they put their face between their knees, and they sit this way for a long time sometimes. And this likewise Elijah did. But Elijah, he was lifting up his soul unto God in prayer. It is possible that Elijah desired to be up here. He wanted to be alone. He had experienced how God had answered him by fire from heaven, and how that God had been with him in destroying all the prophets of Baal. And surely he wanted to be alone. He wanted to give God the thanks and offer up his gratitude to him for revealing that he was God, the God that answered with fire, and that he likewise was God for Elijah, who had prayed to him that he would answer. And now Elijah was praying again. He was a man of prayer, Elijah, praying for rain that God had promised to give. Have you ever any desires, my hearers, to go alone? Have you ever had in times past that you cried to God? Maybe you were in a deep trial. Maybe you had affliction in your family. Maybe you were in trouble concerning your immortal soul. Your sins, they abounded, and you thought that everything was wrong with you. And likewise, you went alone, like Elijah. Elijah went alone to pray. Oh, what a blessing, what sweet employment, my hearers, to go alone and to pray to God. Have you got such a place in your home? Is this your exercise? Do you seek God's countenance? Have you had a promise? Elijah had a promise that rain would come. He wrestled with God with this promise. Have you ever had a promise of God that you could bring before him? It's a mercy when we get a hold upon God and upon his word. This God, he never fails. He always fulfills his word. Elijah was praying. And when this servant went to look, he saw nothing. He commanded him to go 7 times. And at the end of the 7th time, then there was an answer to Elijah's prayer. He saw a little cloud the size of a man's hand. What does this teach us? It teaches us to persevere in prayer. This is what Elijah did. He didn't give up because the servant didn't see anything. There may be some listening to me. You probably formerly did pray, but you got into the habit because no answer came. You fell away from doing this duty that God commands us to do. Here we have an example of Elijah. He continued, he persevered, and he received an answer. I would entreat you, whoever has left off praying, to persevere, even though no answer comes yet and brings relief. We are duty-bound, according to the scriptures, to pray unceasingly. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. This is what Jesus taught us. And so I would teach you, my beloved Bible class, because I know there's a God in heaven that hears and that answers prayer. We see this in Elijah. He persevered, and this man, this servant, he was given to see this little cloud in heaven above. And after this, we read that the heavens became black with clouds, and there was a great wind, and with this, there came a great rain. God answered his prayer. God fulfilled his word of promise given unto Elijah. And then God let rain come down. Oh, could you picture this, my hearers, after 3.5 years without any rain? What the ground must have been, how chapped it must have been, how many cattle and how many plants and things that grew on the ground had all perished, and how many people likewise. Many had become sick. There was a great famine in Samaria. There wasn't anything to eat. And oh, when you are in desperation for food and for drink, oh, my hearers, you'll take anything. And this leads to sickness. This leads to death. But this is what took place in these 3.5 years. And now this good God, he let it rain again. Oh, how wonderful this must have been for the people of Israel, who likewise had been under this judgment, and now things again would begin to grow, and farmers could again plant their fields, and they could expect again a harvest. Oh, my hearers, how wonderful is God in his works of nature, but likewise in the works of grace. There may be some that are listening to me that, like Elijah, have experienced, as he did, so many wonders. Oh, Elijah, he was a prophet of God, and he had many signs and tokens that God was with him, that God heard him, that God answered him. And so it may have been in your past life, especially when God first wrought upon your heart and brought you out of the world, shed his love abroad in your soul. Oh, how lively you were. Oh, what a different life this was to what you had been leading before. And how sweet it was to go alone, prayer and in supplication. Oh, how good it was to read God's word. You read it with so much life, so much prayer and exercise about it. You came up under the means of grace, and oh, this was such a blessing that you had a living ministry, that you could listen to God's servant expounding the truth. Oh, my hearers, what a mercy to be in this state. Oh, to be lively in things of God. You remember you were like this, any of you is listening to me? And what happened? A drop came upon it. God began to withhold the blessed influences of his precious spirit. And prayer didn't seem to go anymore. Reading the Bible didn't seem to be like it was. Coming up to the house of God, you didn't seem to get what you had before. Everything seemed to dry up. What was the reason? Same with Israel. You probably had departed from God. You sinned against him. Some lust, some passion, some corruption, some sin you fell into and you gave way to. And gradually you came into this barren state. It was a wilderness within. And all you began to think inwardly, oh, I've thought this so many times in my life, therefore I can speak about it. Oh, I thought too, I never could be a child of God if I gave way to this sin and that sin. It couldn't be true. Maybe there's some listening to me that said that too already. Oh, I've done this and I've done that. You don't know me, you said maybe, but God knows me, and that's a blessing that God knows us. And that God, he never turns away those whom he loves, irrespective of how many sins they have committed. They likewise get into a barrenness of soul, and for a long time they don't have anything from heaven to refresh them. It was 3.5 years before God gave rain upon the earth, and so it may be with you that you have went quite a long time, and all it got so that you had to go alone. You had to come to God and tell him that you were such a creature and that you deserved that he never should visit you anymore. But while you were there, you became so honest, so upright, so sincere in prayer. Oh, you began to plead that if it was his work, wouldn't he shine upon it again? Or wouldn't he give you a manifest token of it? And lo and behold, did this God fail you? Did he not come? Did he not come with a rain from heaven? Did he not make your soul like a watered garden again? Did he not witness that he was your God, that he loved you, that he had not left you nor forsaken you? Oh, I could express the glory and the praise of this precious God in heaven above, who is so faithful and so true to his people and to those in whom he with his blessed spirit dwells. And now, my hearers, Elijah, he was given likewise to see an answer to his prayer. It rained. And after this, we find that Elijah, he went up before Ahab to the city of Jezreel. In Jezreel, there was a place that Ahab had a palace. It was not in Jezreel that he dwelt. He dwelt in Samaria. But the kings of Israel had a palace in this place called Jezreel. This was a beautiful place, and it was one of the most fertilest pieces of ground in the land of Canaan. There was a plain called Jezreel likewise, and here this house, Jezreel, he dwelt in at times, and most of the kings at times dwelt there. And now we find that Ahab, he went up and he told Jezebel all things what Elijah had done, and how that he likewise had slain all the prophets of Baal. And now this woman Jezebel, she was a daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Zidonians, she was an idolater. She was a wicked woman. She was a devilish character. And we have in the back of the Bible, in the book called Revelations, we have God denouncing a church, Thyatira, for letting a woman by the name of Jezebel teach. Now this refers back to this woman, Jezebel, who I am speaking of at the present time, that she likewise married a prince, Ahab, a prince of Israel, and that she, in her time, attempted to destroy the true worship of God in Israel. She, likewise, was an enemy of God, and she destroyed so many of God's dear prophets. She was a hater of the true religion. She attempted to root it out, if possible, out of the land of Israel. And therefore, she comes in the book of Revelations under the type of this church. And this church, we may believe, represents the Catholic Church, the Popish Church, who is likewise a mother of harlots, and who likewise is opposed to the true religion. This woman then, she was likewise the wife of this king, and she had a great influence over her husband. Such an influence that she caused him likewise to follow her in worshiping these idols and in supporting 450 Baal's prophets. This woman, when she heard what Elijah had done, she did not fall down before this great and this glorious God who had revealed that he was God. He had come down with fire and revealed unto all the people that he was God. And the people had cried out, "The Lord, he is God." But not with Jezebel. Likewise, God had given now rain upon the earth. You would think that she would have been humbled, that she would have realized that there was a God, that the gods that she worshipped were no gods, but no. No, she became angry with God, and she became angry with Elijah. You see in this, my hearers, no matter what God brings upon people, whether they are judgments or whether they are blessings, if he does not come in with them, people remain what they are. They remain in their sins. You see this in this. This woman, she became angry because he had slain all her prophets. What she had done, she had slain God's prophets. She got it back. And now when she heard that, she became angry, and she sent a messenger unto Elijah. And she said unto him by the mouth of this messenger, "The gods do so to me and more also, if by tomorrow I do not make thy life like one of the life of these prophets that you've slain." In other words, she threatened to kill him. In this I see the providence of God over Elijah. Instead of her sending this messenger to kill Elijah, she sent him a warning. This is a blessing for Elijah, because he was warned, he was told that by tomorrow he would die. He only had a day to live, according to this woman, and she would have him killed. And now this woman, or whether she was going to kill him or whether she sent this message to him so that he would have ample time to get away, is likewise a question. Although in the threatening she said that she would kill him. And now we find that Elijah, this man of God, this prophet who stood so bold and so fearless the day before, when he heard this, he fled for his life. He fled to Beersheba. You would say, how is it possible? He had been so strengthened by God and stood before 450 prophets and before Ahab himself, and God had been with him. God had revealed that he was his prophet. And now when this woman threatened to kill him, he became afraid. Instead of saying and reasoning, what can this woman do to me? God is with me. Should I fear this woman? She can't do anything to me unless God permits it. But you see, my hearers, that even though a person may experience, like Elijah, the presence of God and his help and his strength and proof that he is your God, that they are very dependent upon God. To me and you, this seems hardly impossible that Elijah would flee like he did, but he did. Why? Because he had no faith in exercise. He couldn't take it out of his pocket like so many people do. He couldn't go back to these places and say, well, God help me there, God help me then. I'm not afraid, God will help me. No. You see, he had no faith in exercise. He was afraid for his own life. He fled before a woman. And he came to Beersheba. And he left his servant there, and he went a day's journey into the wilderness. This wilderness was the same wilderness that the children of Israel had traveled in for 40 years. Now, who this servant was that Elijah had, who had been with him on Mount Carmel, who had probably assisted him in killing these Baal's prophets, and who had went with him to Beersheba. Who was this servant? Some say it was the young son of this woman that he had brought back to life. Other commentaries say, no, that's not possible because he was too young to do something like this. They think that it was one of the prophets out of the school of the prophets that was in Samaria. Who it was, the Bible doesn't say. But we find that he left him in Beersheba. And Beersheba was in the land of Judah. Now, instead of going to this God-fearing king, Jehoshaphat, he would have surely found an asylum there. He would have protected him, but he didn't. He went a day's journey all alone into the wilderness. He's fleeing for his life, fleeing from this woman, fearing that she would take his life. And when he came into this wilderness, he came to a certain tree, a juniper tree, and he cast himself down under this tree. And he requested of God that God would take his life away. It's enough, though, Lord. I'm no better than my fathers. Take my life from me. Why didn't he stay back into the city? The woman was seeking his life. She was going to kill him. If he wanted to die, why didn't he stay there? He didn't want to die by the hand of Jezebel. But he requested that the Lord would take his life away. He was discouraged. He was despondent. He was cast down, this man, Elijah. He had been the means in the hands of God to kill all these prophets of Baal. And the Israelites had all cried out, "The Lord, he is God." But they had not went to destroy the idols. They did not destroy the houses of Baal. And the people, they did not continue with what they had experienced that day. They went back to their idolatry. And this is what Elijah became so despondent about and so cast down about, that with all what he had done, nothing had taken effect. And when he came to this place, In his despondency, he desired that God would take his life away. Was this right of Elijah to do this? Of this wish, this desire that Elijah had, that he wanted to die, was not right. It was not inspired by the Spirit of God, and it was not in the favor of God. There are many people, even sometimes servants of God, that desire to die. You have Jonah in the Bible. He wanted to die too. He requested that he would die. But we have one in the New Testament, an apostle. He desired to depart and to be with Christ, which was far better. That was a desire inspired by the Spirit of God. There are many people, natural people, who likewise come into circumstances in life. Sometimes they've been rich, and in a few weeks they become poor. They lose everything. To come down from a high throne to a low throne, and to live in poverty, they can't see this. And they wish that they would die. And some of them, in their despondency, they take their life away. This is a sin of self-murder. This sin can never be forgiven. They die in their sin. There are many natural people that likewise get sick. They are in trouble. They have deep trials. They lose their partner in life, the husband or the wife. They become lonely, and they wish that they would die. A wrong wish, a sinful wish. It's not right to wish to die that way. We just want to die to be out of our troubles. There are many people that wish this, especially if you go to a hospital or do you go to a place where you see them suffering so tremendously. There are many that are God's dear people. They come into sometimes this pit. They likewise have been afflicted by the hand of God. I've heard them say it. They've even said, oh, I wish I was dead. That's not right. Oh, no, my errors. But there is only one way that we can legitimately wish to die, and that's when the Spirit brings us into that blessed knowledge that Christ is ours. If this happens to you in this life, then you wish that you had wings and you could fly away and be with Christ, which would be far better. But that's a good wish. But to wish to die because you want to be out of your troubles is contrary to God and to His Word. God has the authority to take our life away. But this man Elijah was not right in this. He even requested that God would take his life away. And he went and he laid down under a juniper tree. Now this tree is called likewise the broom tree. From this tree there flows a very piercing oil which they make turpentine out of. The Chaldean version is it's a turpentine tree. I've not read this in any commentary, but I've heard even ministers quote it, that if they lay down under that tree, they are sure to die from the fumes that come forth from this tree. Now, I don't know whether this is true or not. I can't find this in any commentary, but it's been a saying amongst the ministers and some of God's people, that he just deliberately threw himself down under this tree and requested to die. But now Elijah, he didn't know what a good God he had to deal with. He wasn't going to die, this man. He was going to be an example of God's goodness and of God's mercy above millions of other saints. He wasn't going to die. He was going to be taken to heaven alive. a fiery chariot was going to come and take him up to glory. This is the way God was going to deal with this servant. Now he wanted to die. And he was laying down under this tree. And as he was laying down under this tree, this God in heaven had his eye upon him. He knew how despondent he was. He knew what he had been saying. He knew that he had not faith in exercise because he's the author of it. He sent down an angel from heaven to make a meal for him while he was sleeping there. And this angel, he made a fire and he baked a cake on the coals and he got a cruse of water for him. And then he touched Elijah. He shook him. And Elijah arose and looked. And he said unto him, arise. Eat and drink. Elijah, he arose according to the word of the angel, and he ate and he drank, and he went and he lay down again. So insistent was he that he wanted to die. Another remarkable thing about this, my hearers, there was no acknowledgement, there was no gratitude to that God in heaven above that had sent an angel down for him so that he had a meal to eat. You don't read it. He had been fed, he had been nourished 3.5 years by the hand of God wonderfully. And now here he was in the wilderness all alone, and he wanted to die out in that wilderness, and God gave him something to eat. And he never even thanked God. He never even acknowledged God. Oh, he should have. It should have broken his heart to think that God thought of him and sent an angel down for this purpose. But no, he went back to sleep again. And now the angel came the second time and awoke him and said unto him, arise and eat, for the journey is too much for thee. And we find that he arose and he ate. And he went on the strength of that food, the Bible says, 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb. It was no journey, 40 days or 40 nights from where he was to Mount Horeb. It took about 2 or 3 days. But the Bible says he went on the strength of that food, 40 days and 40 nights. We'll abide by the Bible. The commentary says we must consider this from the time that God called him and sent him to go unto Ahab to that present time when he arrived at Horeb. This may have been 40 days. But anyway, we see in this how strengthening this food was to Elijah. This food revived him. It strengthened him physically to travel 40 days and 40 nights without any food. Oh, what a wonderful blessing this was to this man, Elijah. Why did he now go to Mount Horeb? He had no commandment to go there. The Lord hadn't said to him, go to Mount Horeb. No. He went to this mountain. This mountain, as you know, was the mountain from which God had proclaimed the law. This mountain, at the foot of it, we find Moses in the beginning of the Bible coming to this bush that was burning. There God revealed himself unto Moses. Later on, Moses, he struck the rock on this mountain and the water gushed out. This mountain was called the Mount of God because so many things had happened which God had done by this mountain. And now this man Elijah, he came to this mountain and he went into a cave. Caves under Israel of old were places of refuge. We read many times of caves in Scripture. You read in the first place about Abraham. His wife died, Sarah. And he bought a field of ground off a man by the name of Machpelah. And there he buried Sarah because there was a cave at the end of the field. Likewise, that we find in David's time, David, he hid himself in caves many times with his men from Saul. The apostle in the 12th chapter, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, speaking of the saints of old, that they wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, and that they wandered in the wilderness and upon mountains and in dens and in the caves of the earth. These caves were places where they could conceal themselves from those that were seeking their life. Therefore, Elijah entered into a cave there. This man, he's a type, even in an experimental sense, of God's dear people. He came into a cave. So many of God's dear people come into a cave. You know, in a cave, there's nothing but darkness. And they come into a place where everything is darkness. It's like a cave to them. No experience of God in their souls, no communion, no fellowship with Him. Oh, it's an awful state to be in darkness. And still the Bible says, the days of darkness shall be many. To be in a cave of unbelief, to be in a cave of rebellion, or to be dissatisfied with the way God is leading you, and then to come into such a place. This takes place in the spiritual experiences of God's people. Here we have this man going all the way to this mountain and coming into a cave. He had no right to be in that cave. God had not told him to go to this place. Still, he was there. But God knew he was there. God follows his people. Oh, he has a tender eye upon his dear children. He never leaves them nor forsakes them, even though they may go in places where they're not supposed to be. Oh, this God, he loves his people with an unchangeable love, and he loved Elijah. Elijah was in this cave, and he fled there for his life. Next week, the Lord willing, we'll pick up the history of Elijah at this point. My time is gone. How that God appeared unto him in this cave. That's all for today.